Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining me now is Gary Taubes, who is the author of the New York Times Magazine cover story, Is Sugar Toxic? He is a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation independent investigator in health policy at the University of California, Berkeley School of Public Health. He's also the author of the new book, Why We Get Fat. And one of the main people in your article, at least in one of your major sources here, Gary Taubes, is Robert Lustig, the expert on childhood obesity at the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine. I actually spoke with him this morning because it's Passover now and he's got a pretty busy schedule. But I posited the question. I said, you know, what's extraordinary about this story and in this article in the New York Times is that if you were to say to any citizen, look, we can identify who's killing more people than all the car accidents, all the wars, and much of the other illnesses combined, and we have one person that we can point out, or one group of people we can point out are doing this, you would have a hue and cry for criminal prosecution and targeting this group or this entity. So why is it then that you've really presented a powerful case, but is anybody going after the source?
Well, and the answer is no. And this is one of the things that's so fascinating about, I've been sort of studying the history and science of this field for a decade now. And back in the early 70s, a British physician nutritionist named John Yudkin, who was the foremost British nutritionist, targeted sugar as a cause of heart disease. And this came about at the same time that we were blaming fat. And the fat hypothesis won, in large part because it was an American hypothesis. All the funding came from the U.S., and the guy who was pushing it here was a guy named Ansel Keys, who was a very powerful and brutal character. And so ever since then, it's just been, you've been labeled a quack if you said that sugar caused any disease. You know, the newspapers didn't, the health reporters didn't tolerate it. It was like, oh, poo-poo, you're one of the food police. And yet as the data accumulated, as the science evolved, everything has begun to sort of focus in on sugar and also other refined carbs. But sugar is probably the single most, the thing that triggers everything. And when we say sugar, I mean sugar and high fructose corn syrup. Sucrose, the white stuff you put in your coffee, and high fructose corn syrup that's in all the sodas and fruit juices and yogurts.
And just about every other food, by the way.
And just about every
including health food.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the, one of the kickers was sugar consumption, or what the USDA calls caloric sweeteners, had been relatively stable in the U.S. from the 1920s through the 1970s. It had drifted up and down. And then suddenly in the 1980s, it starts shooting upwards, and it went up by about 30% over the next 20 years, and this was high fructose corn syrup. And so people like to blame high fructose corn syrup on the obesity epidemic, and there's a diabetes epidemic with it on high fructose corn syrup. But the reason it went up, in my understanding, I talked to a lot of analysts about this, is that we just didn't know this stuff was sugar. So sugar was getting a bad rap in the 70s. Yudkin, even though he had been ridiculed by the U.S. researchers because he didn't believe it was fat, he was getting his point across. People knew enough to get away from sugar, and then this new stuff, high fructose corn syrup, comes in, and the industry, the corn refiners, like to portray it as something entirely different, and you could put it in health foods, and it didn't have to say sugar and water is the main ingredients. In fact, now when my wife goes shopping, I tell her if something makes it a food, a health claim on the package, immediately look to see how much sugar is in it.
So I'm curious, though, why, without belaboring the point, if we knew about the Nazis taking thousands and thousands of people off to death camps, we would have the appropriate reaction. Unless somebody can tell me what else is causing this epidemic of obesity and diabetes in this country, which is the worst in the world, then you have to assume that it's these people who are peddling this stuff that's in everybody's food, that's almost ubiquitous. And
but we have this belief that it's all about calories. Okay, it's all about eating too much. It's about exercising too little. Actually, if you've noticed lately over the last 4 or 5 years, this idea that, you know, it's a, we're all too sedentary has really heated up. I mean, that's really become, and the food industry loves this, because all you have to do is blame people for being too sedentary, and therefore, if we just worked out more, you know, and then you think about who promotes, even Chuck E. Cheese promotes their restaurants with shots of kids being physically active. If we were just more physically active, then we could consume all their products with impunity, right? Because we'd be burning off more calories. So as long as we believe it's just about calories, this is a point I make in the article and that Dr. Lustig makes, then, you know, everyone's off the hook. The food industry's off the hook. It's all our fault for eating too much, and we're just gluttons, and if we just exercised more, everything would be fine. And the point that Dr. Lustig makes and that I make in my books is it's not about calories. It's literally about the hormonal and metabolic effects of these nutrients we're consuming. And that's a different issue. But that's not the conventional wisdom. That's not what we've been taught for 30, 40 years. And, you know, at the moment I'm doing research for a book that Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is funding, in which I'm finding out all the ways that the Sugar Association has been involved with sort of spinning the nutritional picture, so that we would kind of concentrate not just on calories but also the fat content of the diet. You know, whenever we talk about artery-clogging saturated fats and the need to eat low-fat diets, we're directing attention away from sugar and towards something else.
Again, I'm speaking with Gary Taubes, who is the author of the New York Times cover story, Is Sugar Toxic?, in which many of the leading researchers, particularly into childhood obesity in the country, in fact, go as far as to say that sugar is a toxin and a poison. And the issue really is it's not so much your intake of calories and the carbohydrates you consume in the form of, particularly in the form of sugar and high fructose corn syrup, it is the metabolic consequences of what you eat. And what this research is indicating is that white sugar and high fructose corn syrup metabolize in the liver and create fat, which then suppresses insulin, right?
Well, no, the fat causes a disorder. The fat in the liver seems to cause a disorder called insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
When you're insulin resistant, you know, you normally secrete insulin. Insulin's a vital hormone in our body, and we secrete it in response primarily to the carbohydrates we consume so that the blood sugar stays under control. When you become insulin resistant, you have to secrete more insulin to do the job that it's supposed to do. So your insulin levels go up. And when they go up, insulin, among its other, it's got a lot of beneficial, I mean, it's excruciatingly beneficial, but when it's elevated beyond the level it's supposed to be, then it starts having negative consequences. Among them are you start accumulating fat in your fat tissue, so you get fatter. You start becoming more diabetic as because you need more and more insulin to do the job, and your pancreas has trouble keeping up. And then, you know, the end of the story, I talk about the sort of what my wife calls the Grinch that stole Christmas problem. Is there now a group of very, you know, influential, well-respected cancer researchers, and I quote one at Harvard and one who's the president of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, who have been studying the effect of insulin and a related hormone called insulin-like growth factor on cancer promotion and metastases. And what they believe is that a large percentage of the cancers we get, the most common cancers, are driven, in effect, either by elevated insulin levels in our circulation, which comes from this insulin resistance, or by mutations in the tumors that mimic the effect of increasing insulin levels. So the insulin not only supplies these tumors with the blood sugar they need to grow and multiply, but also the signal to do it, to keep growing, keep multiplying. And so if sugar is the fundamental cause of insulin resistance, which is the argument that Dr. Lustig is making and other biochemists make also, then on some fundamental level, it is a cause of cancer. And if we didn't have sugar, this is the way to think about it. It's the same like if we didn't have tobacco, lung cancer would be virtually non-existent. And what these people are the implication of what they're saying is we didn't eat sugar, if it didn't exist in our diets, most cancers wouldn't exist either.
So let's just go through this, Gary Taubes. The white sugar and high fructose corn syrup that is in food in enormous amounts, and the consumption of it's gone up, 100-fold or something in the last couple of centuries. And it causes obesity and diabetes. And then on top of that, once it's reached that plateau, then it triggers cancer. So,
although you don't actually know what the, you know, the basic argument is, it is consumption. The consumption's actually gone up about tenfold in the last 200 years. And so with that, what you see, it's not first you get obese or diabetic, and then you get potentially cancer. It's that the cancers we get, the obesity we get, the diabetes we get, they're all known as diseases of civilization, diseases of Western diets. Because you don't see these diseases in populations that don't eat Western diets. And the key, the trigger, the item that sets everything off in the Western diet could be the sugar and high fructose corn syrup.
Let's then turn, Gary Taubes, to we've diagnosed the problem. And by the way, this is when you combine cancer with diabetes and obesity, you're getting up to what percentage of the population now?
Some huge percent. These are the diseases we die of.
Right. But we know obesity is up to 65%.
Overweight is 65%.
Okay.
Obesity is at 34%.
Right. But we also have this phenomenon of obesity and malnutrition at the same time. And this new phenomenon in your article, Gary Taubes, is sugar toxic in the New York Times Magazine, this new phenomenon called diabesity. But let's focus then in on what is stopping anybody seriously addressing this issue, albeit the attempts that you have and which I'm helping you with as much as I can to get this message out to the United States, to people that are afflicted by these diseases. And this is the source, the principal source, the Sugar Association, the Corn Refiners Association. But you also have to lay a lot of this, surely, at the FDA, right?
Well, the FDA, which they had a couple of studies, one in 1976 and one a decade later, where they decided sugar was generally recognized as safe and so could be consumed with impunity. And both of these, the Sugar Association had a lot of influence in both these studies. And the 86 study, I mean, could have been written. It literally reads as though it was written by a sugar industry lawyer. I mean, they couldn't have done a better job going through each study and saying, okay, this showed this bad effect, but this is why it's not compelling. It reads like a legal case where, you know, the sugar is on trial and they're going to convince the jury that no single piece of evidence is enough to nail it down, but we shouldn't bother studying it more anyway. So, yeah, the FDA is certainly to blame here. The National Institutes of Health, again, they simply weren't. These are the funding agents for all, you know, most medical research in the United States, and they just weren't interested. It's like it just got a free pass. It's like sugar, I don't know. I mean, the only way I think about it is, you know, this is how we communicate love in America, and it's what the food industry markets, and you just don't go after it. That's all. It's like you don't go after apple pie and lemonade on hot summer days, and Coca-Cola is a real thing, and you don't fund research to find out if it's as bad as some people say it is. You know, the fundamental argument I'm making in this article is here's this guy, Rob Lustig, you know, a leading authority on childhood obesity and one of the best medical schools in the country, and he's got a video online now, a YouTube video, in which he's arguing. It's a lecture, a 90-minute lecture, where he's calling sugar, high fructose corn syrup, a toxin, a poison, an evil, and he's making the argument, showing you the biochemistry, how it's metabolized in the liver, why it does the things he's saying it does. And when you actually look to see whether he could be right, the answer is absolutely. He absolutely could be right. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I can also say that virtually nobody in this country has cared. There's about a half dozen people who were studying sugar. They're all finding things similar to Lustig, and it was kind of like, oh, well, so what? You know, eat a low-fat diet and don't worry about it.
But, Gary, nobody else is saying what else is causing this, right?
Well, again, they're saying it's us. We're doing
because we don't exercise enough. I see.
Yeah, they're blaming us. They're blaming the victim, in effect. And as long as they could blame it on us, we just can't eat in moderation. Mm. We just won't listen to their advice. They don't have to say, you know, Michelle Obama, when she launched her Let's Move program to combat childhood obesity, she said this is not about demonizing any industry. They don't want to demonize an industry, so instead you just get us all to eat less and exercise more and hope that that'll cure or solve the problem.
But back to the FDA, Gary Taubes, in your article, you point out that the 1986 FDA report that let the sugar and the sweetening lobby, if you will, off the hook, Walter Glinsman, the FDA administrator, who was a primary author of the 1986 report, is now an advisor to the Corn Refiners Association. So,
yeah, well, there's ties, and that's one of the things we're learning. And I have a colleague in Colorado who's doing most of this research, and what she's learning is there are ties, throughout the Sugar Association. People are going from sort of running the Sugar Research Group, which predated the Sugar Association, and then running the FDA office that decides whether or not, you know, foods are generally recognized as safe. I mean, it's like a revolving door from the sugar groups back to the FDA and back and forth. I don't know how much. I don't like to assume going in that just because somebody has worked for industry or that they get consulting fees from industry that this affects what they believe and what they say. But if they want it to have the appearance of being dirty, they've got it.
Apart from people looking at the YouTube video of Robert Lustig's and reading your article in the New York Times Magazine, is sugar toxic, the cover story? And specifically, I guess what people have to do is really just go cold turkey on sugar and really read those labels, because it's in everything.
Well, that's, you know, the argument. Obviously, everyone would benefit from eating less. We all know this anyway. I mean, there's a few people out there who say, oh, I'm, you know, 80 years old and I'm 140 pounds and I've lived on Snickers bars my whole life. But most of us know you got to eat less anyway. Eat less sugar and high fructose corn syrup. But, yeah, the argument I'm making is you should, and that Dr. Lustig is making, is that you should probably eat a lot less and stay away from the sodas and the fruit juices, which are like liquid delivery vehicles for sort of dropping this stuff on your liver, and your liver can't handle it. That's the message of this research. It would be ideal. I mean, I wrote that article in part because I wanted to try and force the issue. I want the government to focus on this, and if they don't want to, they're going to have to explain why not.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Gary Taubes.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Gary Taubes, who is the author of the New York Times Magazine's cover story, Is Sugar Toxic? He's also the author of a new book, Why We Get Fat. Let's do a wrap-up of today's program. What did we learn? Well, we started out with probably the leading authority on taxes, who pays and who doesn't. Of course, today being tax day, tax deadline day, David K. Johnston joined us. And rather than get into the details of tax law, which is so damn complicated and deliberately so, he really got off on talking about this guy, Ryan, and his budget. And I didn't realize that Ryan is, in fact, a plutocrat. He's a very wealthy guy, and he's influenced by Ayn Rand, as was Alan Greenspan, who was the executive of her estate. And it's an amazing story when you think that the country is now being moved so far to the right by these lunatics from another age who should have been totally discredited. The hero of the Fountainhead, Ayn Rand's book, blows up a building because he's not happy with it. That's called terrorism nowadays, as David K. Johnston pointed out. So he really did lay out a very, very clear case about how crazy these people are, and how maybe they've crossed the line and people in this country will wake up to how much they're getting hosed. And then joining us in the studio was former Wall Street banker and leading financial journalist William Cohan. He's got a new book, Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. We were able to talk to him about this big player on Wall Street and how much they're costing us in terms of stealing the country blind, basically forcing, while Wall Street is thriving, Main Street is languishing, and how much they're gaming the price of the basic staples that we need. Every time we fill out the gas pump and buy food for the table, we're actually helping Wall Street speculators paying inflated prices. Then we got into the idea of, I asked him about the mentality of these people. How can they call themselves American patriots, you know, when they're screwing their fellow man in such a blatant way? And he said they live in a cocoon. They think they've got the right. You know, it's kind of like a Marie Antoinette mentality. Let them eat cake. They're entitled to all these billions, which they get from simply playing money games and changing money. So much for the biblical injunction against the money changers. And then finally, we talked with the author of the New York Times cover story, Is Sugar Toxic? And I must say it was a very disturbing conversation, in as much as the evidence seems so extraordinary. And when you consider that, you know, if the equivalent of the Holocaust that the Jews went through in World War II is happening in America, the biggest cause of death is sugar and high fructose corn syrup, combining everything, you know, from car accidents to wars to diseases. No question about it. And yet nobody's going after the source, which is the corn sugar lobby and the fructose sugar lobby. So it was the research is out there. I think this is the beginning, I think, of a huge consciousness awakening in America. It's hard to get around it because they put sugar in everything, and they're turning all of our kids into little fatties. But at least the word is out. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank my producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. You can check out this program and my blog at ianmasters.com. I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.